If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. I'm your host. I have with me today as my guest, Tia Meredith, who is a Missouri native turned digital nomad who lives life with audacity. When Tia was 16, she took care of her mother who had leukemia. She went on to receive a BS in psychology and a master's in management, and she became the first in her family to make a six-figure-a-year income working for the federal government. In 2012, after moving several cities and finding herself in Washington, D.C., she booked a two-week vacation alone to Greece, and her life changed forever. Leaving a six-figure career after 11 years to move to Greece, filing for bankruptcy, becoming a travel agent, making her way back to six figures again, which isn't even the bottom of what she's experienced, has helped her to understand what it means to overcome. She wrote a children's book, Leonidas and the Dolphin, which she published upon her return to the United States in 2014. In 2016, Tia's mother died from pancreatic cancer. It was then that Tia understood how quickly life changes and how moments transform who you are. Tia currently works as a marketing consultant for a top self-help publishing company using her 20 years of marketing experience. She has spent the last 5 years focused on marketing online courses that gross $500,000 up to $1 million at cart close. Her desire now? To teach these marketing techniques to self-help and spiritual entrepreneurs through our upcoming course called Launch to Legacy Marketing, releasing in the spring of 2022. Please help me welcome Tia Meredith. Hey, Tia, how you doing?
Hi, Ari. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Man, let me tell you, it sounds like a wild roller coaster ride there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I know it was a lot to encompass. And like I had mentioned, there are many more ups and downs, but I think those are the most major that maybe other people could relate to. And that's what I'm hoping to do here is share with you and share with your audience the ability to change and for life to change and survive. Yeah.
That's great. Because as you know, the name of the podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling us what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good in life. And the bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. And let's be real, we all get hit with bricks, some bigger, some smaller. But at the end of the day, there are many ups and downs and many bumps in the road. Now, to get started, the first brick that you were hit with came about when you were 16. Mm-hmm. That's when your mother had leukemia. Tell us about that. What was going on?
Well, at that time, my parents were divorced and my brother was playing Division I football and he was on a full ride scholarship. So I was the only one that was home. And my mother just got very ill. She wound up losing her job. She was the head of she was an RN and the head of a nursing home at the time. And she was hospitalized for a year during that time. So at that point, we had lost the home that we were in. We wound up back in the house that I'd grown up in, that was not in a great neighborhood. And I was living alone and going to school every day, going back and forth to the hospital. My mother was in intensive care at the time for a considerable amount of time. So it was just a really rough period. And I was a child, you know, I was only 16 at the time. So thankfully I could drive, which was helpful. But I was in the hospital room with her at one point, and she coded blue in front of me. And I just remember people running in and pulling me out of the room. And, you know, I was thinking this is going to be the moment. I'm going to lose my mother and I have nothing. I don't have any support. I don't know how to feed myself. And it was just a real coming of age moment of like, how am I going to survive this experience? Thankfully, she came through it, but that was just where it began. You know, after she got out of the hospital, she had gone through all these chemo treatments. There was a hospital bed, you know, that came into the house, and we lived in this two-story home. So there was a pot, you know, where she had to use the restroom. And I was carrying this full pot up a whole two flights of stairs to empty it. And again, I'm just 16. I don't understand this. She was medically trained. I never was. So it was just a very, very difficult time.
Wow. Oh my. Talk about a brick. That was like really, really something. But after that, you went on to college. You received a BS in psychology, a master's in management. Were you the first in your family to get a college degree?
No, my mother was a registered nurse, but she went back to school when we were kids. So it was kind of an interesting thing. But on my father's side, I was the first one to go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after you graduated from college, got your master's degree, what happened next? What did you do after that?
So during that time I was working, I got an internship with the federal government, and I just started working and building my career and getting really focused on what that meant, you know, as a young person. And I wound up just kind of moving and shaking and going up, and I wound up in marketing. I mean, I think that things get selected in a way on your path. And my path was marketing and teaching. And I was helping small businesses, IT firms get contracts with the federal government. So that's what was my mainstay for a long time. And I just got kind of like bored in the Midwest. I was, like I said, you know, I'm from Missouri originally, and I was just tired. I was in my 30s. I was like, I'm done with this. So at my 30th birthday, I moved to Seattle. I didn't really know anyone there. And I transferred my role, my job into Seattle. And it was a huge culture shock from Missouri to Seattle.
I can imagine. World of Starbucks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's where I started drinking coffee. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's like, I didn't drink it before then.
Okay. So, let me understand. You were 11 years in this great job, making a six-figure income. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? You go on vacation.
Yeah. I was in DC by this point, because as a federal employee, if you're going to go to the top, that's where you go. And so I had found myself there. And I was just really feeling empty. I'm like on the metro every day, going to work, and everybody's heads down. Everybody's wearing black and gray. And like, I'm just feeling really just down. And this, I just got this feeling, and I'd gotten it in Seattle, but didn't listen the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you should go to Greece. I'm like, no one in my family had traveled internationally by that point. And especially in Greece, it was just a very odd feeling. But, my best friend at the time, like sister-in-law, owned a travel agency. And she was like, well, I'll just connect you with this person. And so next thing you know, I just took this vacation alone for 2 weeks into Greece.
Right. And all of a sudden, after 2 weeks in Greece, what do you decide to do? Give up a six-figure income for reasons unknown, right? Sounds like a whisper to me.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
So I came back, and I had spoken to a friend. I was just so relaxed, Ari. Like, I was so wound tight, you know, working for the federal government. I looked completely different than too. I had very straight hair, and like, I was just relaxed for the first time in my life. And one of my good friends at the time said, I don't know what you have to do to go back to Greece, but you need to do it. And because I'm so intense, I took that as, well, I guess I need to go. Like, I need to quit this job. I need to sell everything. I need to pack two suitcases and I need to go. And I did it in the quiet, because to tell my family, you know, to be this successful and to be at that next stage of my career and really being like this executive and saying, no, it's like saying, I'm just going to go be a bum somewhere. Like, it just made no sense to them. So I did a lot of things behind the scenes before I told them that I had resigned. And of course they tried to convince me to get a sabbatical and all of that. And I was like, no, I'm all in. I need to burn the backup plan.
Wow. So you went to Greece to be a beach bum.
That's what they thought. That was not the case. I worked very hard in Greece, but yes.
I can imagine. Okay. So again, sounds like another whisper on that side. Mm-hmm. All right. And then what happens in 2016? You get hit with a major brick. Want to tell us about that?
Yeah. In 2016, I was then in San Diego and I had just gotten married. My husband and I had just gotten married. And my mother called me about a month later and told me that she'd been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and she had 3 to 6 months to live. Oh. And so it was, you know, it also brought up old trauma of being 16 again and the illness that she went through. But I knew this time she was done. It was just in her voice at that point of I'm tired of fighting.
So. Oh, wow. Wow. So she died in 2016 from pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So again, another brick. But I think after that, I think there were some whispers. I think your journey toward healing your own life, I think led you to discover some deeper truths about yourself, about your life, about the life we all share. And yeah. I think it was through practicing kindness and care and compassion, expanding your awareness, evolving, expanding your consciousness, and staying committed to the process and trusting love, yourself, and the universe. I think that everything started to change. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
You're 100% right, Ari. So
tell us a little bit about that change and, you know, and where you are today.
Yeah. You know, the change really happened when my mother passed away and I was in the room with her when she passed. And I think that that's such a special gift that I don't know that everyone gets. And it seems like a very big fear and something that's terrible, but it was really beautiful to watch her go out. And I thought to myself at the time, you know, she brought me into the world, but I got to be present to watch her go out. And wow. Everything changed in that moment. And I remember going back to work and going like, none of this matters. Like you started to see the, just how we as people get wound up in the doing of things and the lack of importance around. It's just like egos in a room battling. And I just started to really expand and grow and step into myself because I was able to let go of an image of who I should be. Like the one person that I cared about and who was my person in the world was gone. Who else was I trying to show up for? It really released me in a way as well. And I really became this artist and this creative, but like this very grounded, spiritually seeking person past that point. I began meditating and being and taking care of myself and being present in my relationships and healing these traumas that had come up and abandonment wounds and everything else so that I could arrive as a whole person in my romantic relationship with my husband and then in my friendships. And it's just really amazing when you go inside and you really dig into that shadow part of yourself, like who you become on the other side.
Wow. That's just amazing. You know? So I guess, I mean, if I were to ask you, who is the one person that you can point to who you would say had the most influence in your life, who would that be?
I would definitely say early in my life, it was my mother. Was my signpost. I think without her on the planet, I think it's just, it really is life at this point. And there are people that I meet like you, Ari, that just give you gifts and ways of expanding and looking at to new ideas and ways of being. So now it's just who I come across, you know, who's kind. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. So what are you doing right now? And what are your plans? I mean, I have to tell you, just in the short time that we've known each other, you know, I understand you've got so much potential. It's not even funny. Mm. You're strong. You're smart. I mean, you've suffered the bricks, but you've also gotten the whispers that are really, really working with you. Mm-hmm. And, I think it's wonderful. So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing and who you're helping these days.
Yeah. So I work as a marketing consultant and I work, you know, I don't say out loud, but who I work for is a self-help company. And so what I do is help build people's platforms. Truly. I'm doing a lot of digital marketing, online course creation, all the way to launching it, which you had opened with so kindly, you know, $500,000 up to $1 million. That's my responsibility. That's mm-hmm. how I have to show up in the world. And so now I want to gift that knowledge to newer self-help and, spiritual entrepreneurs. You know, there's a lot of struggle in that realm with money and being comfortable with money and that I don't deserve to have money because what I do is spiritual. And so there's a lot of mindset work that I have to do with folks to help them get through and be successful. We want the kind, heart-centered folks to be successful in the world, to change the dynamic of what we're all experiencing. But I'm in the process of moving. We talked about Avkara. So I'm one step away from moving to Croatia. So that's
Croatia.
That's also what's going on. Yeah.
Croatia.
Yeah.
What is in Croatia?
You know, just a life with my husband and my pug. And that's really the reason I wanted to be digital, so I could live as a global citizen. And that's really my love and my desire, because Greece changed me so much.
Does your husband want to move to Croatia? I mean, is this your decision, his decision?
He was kind enough to oblige me. He is Croatian, so he's going back.
He is Croatian. Yes. Okay, now it makes a little bit more sense, because I can't imagine why anybody, a young couple who live in the States, all right, and all of a sudden they're moving to, of all places, Croatia.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Well, now I get it. Your husband's Croatian. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, completes the circle here.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really, really wonderful. It's so great. And I have to tell you something, just going back on what you were just saying, I find that people, as much as people have a fear of failure, I think the thing that really holds them back is the fear of success.
Yeah.
You know, I remember there was a Seinfeld episode where I was a big Seinfeld guy. But I never watched it when it first came out. I only watched it after it went syndicated. But there was one episode where George was on the verge of becoming very successful, and he literally had a meltdown. He goes, I don't know if I could be successful. But it was so true, because you see it time and again. You know, somebody's got the potential, they're there, they've got everything they need, and yet that fear of success holds them back. So, I certainly am one to appreciate what you're doing and trying to help people, get over that fear of success. I think that's great. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with my audience before we go? Any words of wisdom?
You know, the thing that I always talk to my clients about is be brave, be bold, be you. And that courage is something that you have within you, because marketing is about being courageous and audacious enough to say, this is what I do for a living. That's all it is, distilled down. This is what I do. Check it out. If this is your thing, you should come and hang out with me. You know, I mean, it's that simple. And so those, that's what I'd want to leave people with, is just to really do those three things.
Great. So now, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that? Do you have a website? Do you have an email, cell phone? You know, what's the best way to find you? Social media?
Yeah, I have a website. It's my name, tiameredith.com. And then you can find me on Instagram at Tia Meredith Writer. And then, there's contact forms and places to get me there. Those are the two easiest places for sure.
Great. And I'm sure you're open to talking to people or trying to help people, because, my audience, they appreciate the guests that I bring on, because as much as people always think that they're the only ones going through something, at the end of the day, we know there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are going through the exact same thing. But everybody who goes through these things feel like they're all alone. And the reason that I do this podcast and I bring on guests like you is to let people know you're not alone. There are people that have gone through this. And guess what? They've gone through it. They've made it through. And if they did it, you can do it too. And so I really, really want to thank you for sharing your story with my audience. Tia, good luck going forward. I wish you all the best. Enjoy Croatia.
I will.
That's great. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shomer. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
Join us on the next episode.